Hi, friends. It's Tim Villegas with the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education, and you are listening to Think Inclusive, our podcast that features conversations with people doing the work of inclusion in the real world. This week, we have two special guests, Connie Sr. and Brian Williams. Connie is an assistant director with YI, an organization that supports and advocates for people with disabilities, and Brian, who is a Project Shine Youth Ambassador. Now, what is Project Shine? You're going to learn all about it in just a minute, right after I tell you about our fantastic sponsor for season 12, IXL. IXL is a fantastic all-in-one platform designed for K-12 education. It helps boost student achievement, empowers teachers, and tracks progress seamlessly. Imagine having a tool that simplifies what usually requires dozens of different resources. Well, that's IXL. As students practice, IXL adapts to their individual needs, ensuring they're both supported and challenged. Plus, every learner receives a personalized learning plan to effectively address any knowledge gaps. Interested in learning more? Visit IXL.com/inclusive. That's IXL.com/inclusive. Okay, after a short break, my conversation with Connie Sr. and Brian Williams with Project Shine. Catch you on the other side. Brian Williams and Connie Sr., welcome to the Think Inclusive podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Brian is a youth ambassador for Project Shine. So welcome, Brian. And Connie, could you say your role in Project Shine?
Sure. I'm the project manager for Project Shine from YAI. So YAI was one of the agencies that were part of the project, the 3-year project. And I'm the project manager we have an advisory board.
Okay. Oh, so, and YAI, that's how you say the acronym.
YAI, yes. I've been in media. I've heard so many things. I've heard YAI. I've heard. It's YAI. It stands for Young Adult Institute, because that was the initial name. But since then, we have been seeing more than just young adults. So it's...
Right. Okay. Well, now I know how to reference the YAI. Okay, great. So, Project Shine. So what I would love for our audience to know is just a little bit about Project Shine and what it is. And then Brian, then you can share how you got involved with the project. So Connie, would you mind sharing a little bit about Project Shine?
Absolutely. You know, Project Shine is a 3-year project in conjunction with Planned Parenthood of Greater New York and 6 other affiliates, other agencies throughout New York State. And it was with the Office of Population Affairs, and it was a grant. And what they found was that there was a gap in social sexual education or sex education for youth with IDD between the ages of 16 and 24. And that for the 3 years, we came together first to assess where exactly is the gap, and then what is something that we could create that would help youth with IDD have access to correct information that they didn't need to necessarily get from a parent, but have it accessible that they could understand, so it would empower them and give them the knowledge that they need. They had heavy, very, very heavy involvement of people with IDD. So we had youth ambassadors, and we had other people with intellectual disabilities that were at every step of the project. We had an advisory board that had people with IDD, family members, and professionals.
Excellent. And so it's a 3-year grant or project. How far along are we at this?
Oh, we completed
this interview.
We completed it. Yes, we completed at the end of last year. We have a product. There are 2 products that came from it. Actually three, because there was a white paper that was also written. And there's a website and there's a video game that came from the project.
Okay. And then that can be found at the Your Sexual Health Toolkit?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That's the website. And on the website, you can also access the game.
Okay. Okay. So thank you for setting that up. You talked a little bit about this, but maybe unpack it for us about why this particular resource is needed. You talked about gaps. But I would imagine that, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about sex. Like, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't like to talk about it.
You know what? That is absolutely true. And it's something that we can't get away from, right? Because there is social sexual development. We all develop and have a social sexual spectrum, so to speak, right? That you're growing up as a child and you go through puberty, adolescence. That's all social sexual development. And you're an emerging adult and then an adult, right? It's important because we all go through this, whether you have an intellectual disability or any disability. For many of us, you know, family told us some information, friends told us, and we read things, but we checked things for ourselves. People with intellectual and developmental disabilities, because they learn differently and they may think differently, right? They need to be taught a lot of this information. So it's important that they get the information so that it can, you know, help to prevent abuse, so they can know their bodies better, so they can advocate for themselves better. So it is important when they don't have it, if you know the ratio or the statistics of abuse are staggering, right? Mm-hmm. 80% of people with intellectual disabilities will be abused and multiply abused. And it's because of lack of knowledge. So we want to ensure, the other thing is that sex education isn't taught in schools in New York City anymore, right? So how do they learn? They'll end up making mistakes, end up being traumatized, end up being, you know, and all, mostly because of lack of knowledge. That's not good enough. You know, we're seeing too many things happening.
Yeah. I want to turn it over to Breon. Breon, how did you get involved with Project Shine?
Well, I got involved with Project Shine because my mom came to me and asked me would I want to be involved in it. And I said yes, because, you know, I had sexual education when I was in elementary school, but as Connie said, they don't have it anymore. So I feel like it's important for kids to know about sex education and the importance of it, you know, how to be safe and things of that nature.
Yeah. Oh, so were you involved with in the creating of the toolkit?
Not that I remember. But
the youth ambassadors were, after the website was created, their main role was to share the information, right? Was to get this knowledge out, telling other people about what was on the site, them learning it themselves. And I thought, you know, that was great. I think, you know, Breon is an awesome ambassador, and just sharing it, starting with your own family, right? Every time that we've done these things, a lot of people said, I know I have an intellectual disability and I didn't know half of this stuff.
You know? I know exactly. Breon, is that what happened with your family when you shared the toolkit?
Yeah, yes. I showed my twin brother, you know, even my mother was a part of it. I showed her some things, uncles, everyone, you know, that I could share with, I shared it with them.
Yeah, yeah. And I've previewed the toolkit. I haven't gone through all of it, but it looks very user friendly, very clear. And we're going to make sure to link that in our show notes for people to use, and encourage you to share that with whoever, you know, whether that is as a resource for our different schools or communities, whether you have an intellectual disability or not. So what about and I want to hear from Breon with this question.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people that listen to this podcast are educators, so teachers in schools, and a lot of special education teachers, principals. What do you want them to know about people with disabilities and their access to like information about sexual health?
I want people to know with disabilities that, you know, it's important to know about sex education because a lot of people, they are misinformed, you know, they don't have sex education anymore in schools. So this website is a great tool for kids to learn, even adults to learn more about sex education, you know, just like protecting yourself. You know?
Right, right, exactly. Connie, has there been any patterns that you've seen with, you know, maybe like some aha moments when people are exploring the site or trying to learn more information about sexual health?
Well, absolutely. Like the names of body parts. You'd be surprised how many people do not know names of body parts. They only know the slang names, right? So when they need to report it or a few things I've heard people say was the fact that it can read it to them because it is so accessible, right? Or hearing other people's, you know, let's call it testimonials, hearing other people talk about things like the first time they had sex or, you know, the library is one that's very extensive and just being able to look up things that they thought they shouldn't even be talking about.
Right. So I think, you know, there's probably some people or families who believe that people with disabilities, specifically intellectual or developmental disabilities, should not be thinking or having sex, thinking about or having sex. So how do you even get past that barrier in the first place?
People with intellectual disabilities have the same need and desire to love and be loved. You know, they develop the same way. And I always say to parents, if your child can love you, do you think they can love someone else? Right? Absolutely. So just what Brian said. So how do they know what to do to be safe? They can't report what they don't know. And they know that for a lot of parents, it's coming from the space of fear. But education is the answer to abuse. When you're educated, you are better at sexual advocacy. You're better at knowing that you can say no. Some people don't know they can say no to an adult. And so what social and sexual education does is to help their child to be able to advocate more for themselves, know when somebody's doing something wrong, know what to report, know who to report it to. And then just being able to have body autonomy, right? Liking their bodies, knowing what their bodies are and can do, and make more informed choices. And when a parent doesn't want their child, again, because of fear, but remember, your child develops biologically like everybody else. Mm-hmm. So what do they do with those emotions if you're not talking about it, right? And when they don't allow their child to get that sex education, they're really violating their human rights because sexual rights are human rights. And they're not equipping them, like, you know, Brian was talking about, it's being safer. And I believe that's what every parent wants, to allow love in and keep abuse out.
Right, right. What are some things that, is there a part of the toolkit, Brian, that you found most useful?
Sure. Like when you talked about like body autonomy, like learning about your body, different parts of the body, how to protect yourself, you know, like even to like pleasure and, you know, things of that nature, like, you know, it's all important, you know, teach you about the uterus, the vagina and penis, things like that, how to protect yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also noticed in the toolkit, there are like, videos or interviews of people talking about all of those things, right? So,
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Was that helpful as well?
It was, yeah, because you get to hear from someone else's point of view about how their experiences was and how they got to learn, you know, better themselves. So I felt like it was helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. What are there any other barriers to people with IDD and like accessing information about sexual health? We talked about a couple of them, but I'm wondering if there's any other ones that are top of mind for you.
Marching fair. Sometimes the material is not created in their zone of learning, so it's not easy to understand. You know, the videos are great because you get to hear from people. Shame from families, well, not just fear, but shame from families, because that shame for anybody, right? Because there's some time when I was growing up, it's not something you talk about. You know, so I think that becomes a barrier. But mostly I think it's from the, and not having enough trained people who are sex positive, because you can do a sexuality training, but a negative one where you portray sex as negative, sex as bad, you know, that makes you promiscuous. So enough trained people who are seeing social and sexual rights from a positive lens, a sex positive lens.
Yeah, I think that's important. There just isn't a lot of information out there that is geared towards like using plain language or, you know, making things understandable for a wide variety of different people. And so, it's just difficult. The barrier is really big. As far as that goes, for any of this information.
Absolutely. And for medical people, they did a study because it was a research. So they went through the IBR and they did some research and some gaps were in clinicians. People who families would turn to for help did not have the information. Their pediatricians didn't have the information. Their therapists didn't have, you know, other people did not have the information to give them. That's a barrier. For somebody who is now learning about their bodies and trying to figure out stuff and there's nobody to tell them.
Right. Right. Because even if you are a family that was, you know, talking about sex in a positive way, that wants to give their child or their family member, good information, you know, you're supposed to like reach out and find resources. Well, if the resources aren't there, then what do you do?
Yeah. And that was one of the things I think we saw, you know, materials where the bodies were not biologically correct. It was a drawing that didn't look right. You know, so that was one of the reasons with this. We had medical personnel check the knowledge. And as you said, it's so user friendly, you know, and what I also like about it is that it's real, right? So it's talking about, it's talking about different positions, but not in a pornographic way, in an educational way, you know? So it's also letting people know there isn't just one way to do things. You know, you can also take this to your therapist and talk about it. You can take it to somebody else, you know, your doctor, and inform your own doctor about it, you know? But when you think about schools that go up to 21, they're in school at 17, which is the the age of consent. So 17-year-olds in school are able to have sex, but now are not having any information. And then we wonder why they end up getting into spaces that probably not have chosen if they were educated.
Right, right. Or yes, yes. Exactly, exactly. And then the just the idea, like I have not looked at the toolkit in total, but what about like reproductive health? Is there anything about that in the toolkit?
Did you get to that part yet, Brian? This is like pregnancy.
Did I got to that part?
No, Brian, is the pleasure. See, that's another thing. A lot of information is all about how to not get pregnant, how to not get STIs. That's what schools talk about. They don't talk about pleasure, right? They don't talk about what can be pleasurable, what parts of your body can be pleasurable, you know, like the clitoris or like different positions and stuff. And that's a part of it. But it does talk about it. It talks about, you know, different contraceptions. It does have a definition of what abortion is. It has a definition of what, so it covers, it's inclusive, of gender, of orientation, of everything. It's just, I feel it's just such an awesome tool. I've been sharing it everywhere.
So where people can find this is yoursexualhealthtoolkit.org. Like Connie and Brian said, there's a glossary, there's a spot for stories, there's a game, which I hear is really fun. I have not played it, but there's some options there, and then additional resources for anyone to use.
Yes, it's very broad resources. But another thing that's really good about it, there are guidelines. So for a family, for a caregiver that may say, I don't know where to start, there's a whole guideline of what to think about, questions to ask, things to assess in yourself. There are also guidelines for professionals, but for educators, right? There's a guideline that's there. And then also for a person with IDD who just wants to go on by themselves, there's also a guideline there. So it's covered.
Yeah, it looks very comprehensive. And I think the team did a great job with it. Any impact stories that you can share with their audience about, you know, people using the toolkit learning something new, or maybe just impacting their life in any way?
Did you have any stories, Brian?
No, not any stories.
Okay. There is one person who, this young woman who is in a social sexual group that I run, and she took it with her to her GYN appointment and proceeded to, when she came back, she said, I was able to talk about some things after going on, and she was able to talk about some things with her GYN that she didn't even know that she wanted to know information about. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what it's for. For you to, because now she can advocate. Now it gives her the language. You know, she took that in her tablet and she took it into her, to her GYN. And I thought, I said, that's exactly what it is that it was created for.
Yeah, that seems like a very useful way to show like, hey, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm trying to understand. And here, can you help me with this? Right?
Yes.
Brian, anything else you want to share with our audience about the toolkit or your experience as a youth ambassador?
Yeah, yes. The toolkit, you can go on sexualhealthtoolkit.org. You can look at various topics of sexual health. It teaches you the importance of being safe, because a lot of kids and older people are misinformed, you know? Like, you know, if you get diseases and things, or you don't know what you're doing, and when you think about your body, you can hurt yourself. So that's why this project toolkit is a good usage for people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks, Brian.
I wanted to show you. I'm wearing my Project China shirt.
Oh yeah, let me see it.
Can you see? Can you see?
There you go. I see it now. Project Shine Ambassador. It says in a blue shirt with white letters. Yes.
Yes.
Very nice. Brian, do you get to, like, how often do you get to go and speak about Project Shine?
Not like, you know, not that much, but we had a little conference at the headquarters, and then we got to see all the strong ambassadors, and you got to talk about sexual health, and you got people were there, and you got to show them and educate them on sexual health. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes, and everything, book bags, but that was cool.
Excellent, excellent.
And he was actually featured in the agency has an internal and external newsletter. He was featured in the newsletter as a youth ambassador. But I think, you know, we want to get more opportunities to talk about it. One of the things he said that, you know, I don't want to be missed is when he talked about people not being hurt. So understanding the need to use lubricants, right, with certain sexual positions, I think is important. You know, so it's not just safety, getting pregnant or not getting STIs, but it's also safety within the internet as well.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. 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 And we'll link that article as well to our show notes so people can learn more about that and get to know you a little bit more, Breon. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the last segment is called the mystery question. And I have a stack of prompt cards that are just, you know, just kind of getting to know you kinds of questions. Breon and I, before Connie, when you came on, we were talking about sports. So I already know Breon as a New York sports fan. So we already went through all of that stuff. So,
right.
but this is more like just kind of general stuff about life. So let's see what this says. What is the nicest thing a stranger has ever done for you? That is the question. What is the nicest thing a stranger has ever done for you?
Good question.
That is a good question. Mm-hmm. The nicest thing, I don't know if I could remember the nicest thing. One of the most recent things that happened. So our family went to go vote, like we did early voting in my state. And we parked and there was a little shuttle that we took. And so, and then we did voting and then we went back. And, when I got back to my car, I turned on the car and it was dead. Like it was completely dead because I had left something on. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, you know, and so I was looking all around to see if anyone was around, and I ran up to this person. I said, please, do you have, can you pull your car up so you can jump our car and so we can leave? And, he probably thought I was like, really like a wild man coming up to him and just being like, help me. But, they were so nice. They pulled the car up and, jumped my car and we were able to leave. And so that was very, very nice. So I guess that was the most recent thing that was like a stranger did for me.
You want to go next?
What about y'all?
So the nicest thing anyone has ever done for me was recently I went to go vote and then I was waiting online, me and my brother. And then I was looking for a pin so I could, you know, and then the lady was kind enough to give me a pin so I could write out what I needed to write out and then I gave it back to her. I said, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. There you go. We got two voting stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mine is not a voting story. Mine is a food story as a foodie that I am.
Uh-huh.
One of those real forward kind of thing where I was in the line at Dunkin' Donuts getting my coffee, but most important, my bacon bits, because that's what I really went there for, the ones that make the syrup. And, and when I went to pay, the person in front of me had already paid for what I was to get. Wow. And not only that, there was change and they gave me the change.
Wow.
Which was $6 change.
$6 change.
$6 change. I was like, what?
That's nice.
That's amazing. So I guess they paid in cash or something?
Yes.
It's like nobody pays in cash anymore.
Of course. No. People still pay in cash. They paid in cash and I got $6 change.
That is amazing. Wow. That's a good story.
Yeah.
Wow.
For my coffee and my bacon bits.
Your bacon bits. Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
Very good.
Nice.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Thank you for sharing. Some of my favorite parts of the episode. Breon Williams and Connie Sr., thank you so much for being on the Think Inclusive podcast to talk about your sexual health toolkit. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Think Inclusive. Time for the credits. Think Inclusive is written, edited, designed, mixed, and mastered by me, Tim Villegas, and is a production of the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education. Original music by Miles Kredich. Additional music from Melody. Thank you to our sponsor, IXL. Learn more at IXL.com/inclusive. We appreciate each and every one of you that listens, and we'd love to hear from you about how you are using our episodes. So are you using them for a class you teach? Or are you sending them to your local school administrators? Let us know. You can always reach out to me at tvegas@mcie.org. Thanks for your time and attention. And remember, inclusion always works.
From MCIE.